Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Trita Parsi, a co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council and author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States, and A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. His latest article at Roll Call is Khamenei's Little Helpers in the Senate. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Trita Parsi.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
And the president met Wednesday night in the White House with a group of U.S. senators, and apparently he made a very impassioned plea to them not to sabotage the opening with Iran. Did it fall on deaf ears, do you know?
Actually, no. The meeting was very successful, according to one of the lawmakers who attended, who I spoke to. The president was very convincing. Amongst the Democrats already by that stage, more and more people had realized that the path that the president is on is successful, is constructive, it's working, and the worst thing they could do right now is to try to impose new sanctions that would sabotage it, and that would create very significant problems because the whole issue would be set back several years.
But my understanding is that there are 58 senators who already co-sponsored this bill that would sabotage the deal.
That is true. There are 58 co-sponsors to that bill. 15 or so of them are Democrats. And they needed about 60 co-sponsors in order to force Harry Reid to put it on the floor. They did not manage to reach that point. There are now more Democratic senators who have come out and said that they do not support it. Moreover, which is very interesting, several of the Democrats who have come out in support of it have also started to say that they do not see the need for this bill to be put on the floor right now. So as of right now, for this moment, the president has essentially won this, and this bill will not be coming to the floor anytime soon. That does not mean, however, that those who are seeking to impose new sanctions, which in my view they're primarily doing because they are trying to sabotage diplomacy, that they have given up. They will be trying new things very shortly, and at the slightest indication of a setback in the diplomacy, they will be there very quickly to try to declare it dead and move on towards other options.
So, Trita Parsi, did the very, very universal condemnation from the major editorials in the major newspapers like the New York Times and Los Angeles Times, etc., and some of the prominent columnists, including pro-Israel columnists like Jeffrey Goldberg, did that have any effect, do you think?
All of these things combined have had effect. I mean, of course, one of the most important things that happened is the fact that the interim agreement's implementation treaty also was concluded. Essentially, Iran and the other countries have agreed upon a schedule on how to implement the agreement that they already came to an agreement on in November. That was a huge plus as well, because essentially by this coming Monday, the Iranians are going to start to roll back certain parts of their nuclear program. With the president being able to say that to these lawmakers, that's a very powerful argument. Makes it much more difficult to claim that there's a need for additional sanctions.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Trita Parsi, the co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council and author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States, and A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. His latest article at Roll Call is Khamenei's Little Helpers in the Senate. Let's talk about your article, Khamenei's Little Helpers in the Senate, and about this sort of paradox of an apparent Iranian, a sort of symbiotic alliance, if you will, between Iranian hardliners and hawks and pro-war Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill. Just explain it, if you will, your thesis.
Well, what I was arguing for in that article in Roll Call was to point out that the hardliners in Iran and Khamenei himself are probably secretly rooting for Senator Kirk and Menendez to succeed with their push for sanctions. And the reason for that is that they were never inclined to go down this path of diplomacy that Rouhani now is pursuing. They had to abide by it because at the end of the day, Rouhani won the elections very convincingly. The population is with him right now, so that he has momentum. But Khamenei has managed to turn it into a win-win. By playing nice right now, he will declare victory if diplomacy succeeds. If diplomacy fails, however, particularly if it fails because members of Congress are creating unnecessary problems for it, essentially the reason it failed is because of the U.S., not because of Iran, then he will gain significantly, both internationally, because a lot of countries will feel that the U.S. is at fault, and as a result, they will stop implementing the sanctions. And as a result, Iran will get sanctions relief without giving a single nuclear concession. Moreover, internally inside the country, he will be able to point to Rouhani and them and say, see, I knew this was not going to work. You were naive to think that you could negotiate with the Americans. The Americans never keep their word. It's their fault that diplomacy failed right now. And from now on, we're going to deal with America my way, not your way.
So from
his perspective, if it fails as a result of American foul play, then he actually turns into a winner.
And you're satisfied that Khamenei was actually forced to accept Rouhani, that this was because of an enormous popular will shown in the elections, and he wasn't able to obviously rig the elections like they did with Ahmadinejad. Obviously, he didn't want to go through anything like that. So give us a sense of how, because most people don't follow the nuances of Iranian politics.
Sure. So there's been what I would actually call a bit of a conspiracy theory, which has said that, you know, Khamenei permitted Rouhani to win the elections. And, you know, it really fits well with the definition of a conspiracy theory because there's no evidence for what they're saying, but rather there's an assumption that Khamenei is the most powerful element in Iran. Anything that happens is a result of Khamenei wanting it. So whatever would happen in the elections, clearly that was because Khamenei wanted it. I don't think that is the case. I don't think Khamenei has that type of a control over the country, nor does he have the ability to decide things in this manner. And that was very, if you just follow Iranian politics, it's quite clear that Khamenei does not have that type of a control. And I think what you saw in the elections was that once the population realized that the regime had actually become quite weak internally as a result of the internal infighting that had been taking place between Khamenei, the Ahmadinejad factions, some of the other conservatives, that it meant that the regime simply could not afford trying to cheat again, because if they did, they would actually risk the complete collapse of the regime. As a result, if the population participated in the elections, they could actually force their will onto the regime without the regime being able to cheat and change the results. And that's part of the reason why you saw in the last couple of days of the elections, suddenly this massive mobilization in favor of Rouhani. Everyone knew that it's not difficult for the reformists and the pragmatic elements to win the election as long as the population decides to participate in the elections. The only way the conservatives tend to win elections in Iran is either by making sure that the population does not turn out and vote or by cheating it by other means. But when the population actually turns up to the ballot boxes, then they tend to vote for the most pragmatic voices that are on the ballots. And that's exactly what happened this time. People realized the regime could not afford to cheat, and as a result, they went out, voted for Rouhani, and now Khamenei is forced to deal with the policies, at least at this stage, that Rouhani is pushing for. This can change very quickly, as I mentioned, based on what he can deliver, what he doesn't deliver, and particularly if it turns out that diplomacy doesn't work out, well, then Khamenei can turn around and say, well, you had your chance, now it's back to my way.
And as you point out, if the U.S. sabotages this deal, the sanctions regime will collapse because other members of the P5+1 will basically say, well, the Americans screwed this and we don't have to abide by the sanctions anymore. So, but when you just said
I don't think all of the sanctions would collapse, but a big portion of them would collapse.
Sure,
lot of countries are very unhappy with the sanctions. It's costing them a lot of money.
Right, China in particular, right. Yeah,
and they agreed to that because there was a sense that the Iranians were at fault because Obama tried diplomacy in 2009, and it didn't work. And general consensus was that it was the fault of Ahmadinejad. And they agreed to it. But if it now turns around, and actually diplomacy did work up until the U.S. Senate sabotaged it, then they're not going to continue to agree to pay this heavy economic price for a problem that actually already got resolved.
Well, just in the last minute, Trita Parsi, I don't understand why it is that obviously Israel is involved with this, and we just learned that Hillary Clinton apparently was suggesting in one of the deliberations over whether or not Israel would strike Iran that maybe we should let Israel to do it. So we know that Israel, behind, with using AIPAC, the lobby, is pretty much behind this effort in the Senate. And if they were to win, I think it would probably actually backfire with the American people, because it's so flagrant that a foreign country is dictating U.S. foreign policy. And furthermore, you just pointed out that the public in Iran is unhappy with this government. Surely the best way to get rid of this government is through more contact with the outside world, which will weaken them. The one thing that would strengthen Khamenei would be an attack from either Israel or America or both.
Oh, absolutely. If there is an attack, particularly now when the population tends to be quite happy with the government of Rouhani, they feel that it's much more competent, it's handling foreign policy much better. Under those circumstances, you would see a much stronger rallying around the flag effect if there was an attack. It is indeed very problematic. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of members of Congress woke up, why the public is waking up to this as well, is because the White House actually went out and said very clearly in a statement, if some members of Congress want a war with Iran, why don't they just come out and say it up front instead of hiding behind some of these ideas that they put forward as a motivating factor for their sanctions? That was a very, very tough call. And the effect of it, I think, actually has been quite positive for the administration, because they have managed to frame this issue exactly as it is. This is about either making peace with Iran or going to war with Iran.
Well, Dr. Trita Parsi, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Trita Parsi, who's a co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council and author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States, and A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. His latest article at Roll Call is Khamenei's Little Helpers in the Senate. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.